All right, let's dive into the Word this morning. If you've been with us for the last month and a half, you know that we've been walking through a series on what it means to be Foursquare. But today, we're going to take a little break from that series to kind of go in a different direction. Since it is Thanksgiving weekend, it seemed like a great opportunity to talk about being thankful. And more specifically, about being thankful for the amazing God that we serve. That's the title of my message this morning. Now, if I'm being honest, this last year has had its challenges for me and for my family. We've experienced some loss, the loss of people that we loved, and then the loss that comes from having your kids all leave at the same time to go off to college. Plus, as a pastor, I've walked through a lot of loss and challenge with many of you. And in the midst of all that we've experienced in this past year, it'd be real easy to look back at this past year and a half, and complain a little, right? It would be easy to focus on all the negatives that we've experienced. But God has been challenging me to be someone who learns how to give thanks in all circumstances, to learn to look beyond the challenges of this fallen world and to focus on the goodness of God, to be thankful that in the midst of the challenges and struggles that He is with us, that He is helping us through these times. Now, I know it's not always easy to give thanks, but I believe it's something that we need to learn to grow in if we want to see God's will accomplished in our lives. Because I believe learning to be thankful is a key component to living the lives that God is calling us to live. I believe that as we learn to be people who give thanks in all circumstances, it can actually turn our situations around. And that's because a heart of gratitude can change our outlook. It can change our attitude, and it can ultimately change us. That there is power in having a thankful heart, and that's because a thankful heart breeds contentment instead of resentment. And by having an attitude of thanksgiving, we're able to embrace God's will for our life. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 tells us to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We are people who have every reason to give thanks, which is why I'm taking time this morning to talk about this reality. And so if you have your Bibles, you can open them to Luke chapter 15. 15:11. Most of you are probably familiar with this passage. It's a passage that I've spoken from many different times. It's actually a parable of Jesus. And the funny thing is I didn't speak on this parable when we went through the parables of Jesus. And part of the reason is because I've spoken on this passage numerous times. Because like many scriptures in the Bible, there are so many things that you can glean from each section of scripture. But today I felt like the Lord was leading me in a different direction to look at the story of the prodigal son, to talk about being thankful, to look at it from that perspective. Because as we'll see as we read through this section of Scripture this morning, the prodigal son had a lot to be thankful for. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, you can follow along with me. We're going to read Luke 15, verses 11 through 27. This is what it says. Jesus continued. He said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out. I will go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. And so he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.'" And that's where we're going to stop this morning. Now, this parable of the prodigal son is a story of failure and redemption. A story that I think all of us, whether we want to admit it or not, can relate to in one way or another. Because the reality is we have all failed. Romans 3:23 tells us, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." When it comes to our relationship with the Lord, all of us have failed. All of us have fallen short. We're all sinners. And so the question is, what do we have to be thankful for then? How can we be thankful knowing that we have failed and will most likely continue to fail at times in our lives? Well, the truth is we can be thankful because, like the prodigal son, we have a father who loves us and always allows us to come back to him regardless of what we've done. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But if you read the next verse, verse 24 says in Romans 3:24, "And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." Yes, we've all fallen short. But if we've said yes to Jesus, we are justified by his grace and redemption in our lives. We can give thanks for the fact that Jesus loves us despite our sins. Think about that. Isn't that amazing? He loves us despite our sins. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He doesn't love us because we've turned our life around and we're doing all the right things, and now he loves us, right? No, he loved us while we were yet sinners. So we can give thanks because Jesus provides a way for all of us to experience redemption. And the reality is we have so many things to thank God for. But this morning, I want to focus on three things that we can see from this passage of why we give thanks to God. A few things that give us reason to be thankful for the God that we serve. And I want to start in the middle of verse 20, or in the middle of this section here with verse 20, when it says, "But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him." And I think this scripture points to the fact that we can be thankful that we serve a God who is always watching and waiting for us to return. We serve a God that is always watching and waiting for us to return. And because of that, we can be thankful. I imagine when you think of this story that a day didn't go by where this father was looking out in the distance, just hoping that that day would come that his son would return. I wonder how many times he stared down that road. Many of you know my story as I have shared it numerous times before, but there was a period in my life when I was in the Marine Corps that I fell in my relationship with the Lord. I began to live a lifestyle that was contrary to what I knew was the right way to live. I started to live like the other Marines. I started to live like the world. But when I came to that point where I knew I needed to return to the Lord, I realized He was right there just waiting for me to come back to Him. I'm so thankful for this aspect of our God, of our Heavenly Father, for the reality that He will never leave us or forsake us. Even when we are going on our own way, even when we've turned our back on Him, He never leaves us or forsakes us. He is always right there watching and waiting for us to come back to Him. I think so often we have this tainted view of what it looks like when we fall from the Lord. I actually illustrated this a few weeks ago. After worship, there was something where the Lord told me to illustrate this point to you. And if you were here that Sunday, you may remember I asked Parker, one of our middle school students, to come up and to help me illustrate my point. And at first, I had him play God, right? I was the person that had this relationship with God. And I talked about the fact that when we're doing well in our relationship with the Lord, right, we have this picture of God right there with us. Where we're close, where we're communing with one another, where we're connected, hugging, loving one another, right? It's this picture of Him right there with us. But then I talked about how when we fail and make mistakes and begin to head in the wrong direction, that we get this picture of God, you know, standing there, and we start to head in the wrong direction, and then we get way out over there. And I actually had Parker, as God, stay on one side of the room here. He was over here. And then I began to sin and fail and go away from God. And I ended up on this side over here. And so I talked about the fact that this is often how we view our what it looks like when we turn from God, right? That all of a sudden we're way out over here and God's way over there. And we're like, I'm sorry, God, where are you? God, I need you, right? And we see this picture of Him way out over here and we're way over there. But then I changed things up and I came over and I had Parker be the sinner, okay? I got to be God. but I had him start to wander all around up front here, like that he was sinning and making mistakes and turning his back on God. And so he started to do that. But instead of me staying there, I followed him everywhere. And let me tell you, a young middle school boy, oh my goodness, I didn't know how fast he could move and how hard it would be to keep up with him. But he was running around up here. I am running with him, trying to stay right behind him. And when he stopped, right? And I said, okay, stop. Now you're ready to turn back to the Lord. And when he stopped and turned around, I was right there to embrace him. And I said, this is what it's like when we turn our back on God. He's not way over here while we're way over there. He's been following us the whole way, and He's just waiting for us to turn around. When we live our lives contrary to God's will and we head in all direction, we have to understand that God is no farther away from us than a 180-degree turn. That's it. He's right there. He's behind us. His arms probably, I even imagine that His arms are just ready and around us, waiting for us to turn around and go, whoa, and then embrace us. And show us His love because He is with us and He never leaves us. And so when we choose to turn around, He's right there. It's not like, oh, I messed up. Where's God? I need Him now. It's like, I messed up. Oh, there He is. And He wraps His arms around us. And when we return to Him, I'm thankful for the second thing that we can be thankful for here in verse 20, it says that He was filled with compassion for him. And as we reflect on that verse, we can be thankful that we serve a God who is compassionate. He's not this angry God. Oh, you messed up. Now you're in for it. No, we serve this God who's compassionate. And if you are coming from the people listening to this story, we might not know that back in these days, according to the Mosaic law, this father had every right to bring this disobedient son before the elders and actually have him put to death. That could have been the penalty for disgracing his father in the way that he did. And the interesting thing is if what we read earlier is true, that all have sinned, we've all fall short of the glory of the Lord, then all of us deserve this same judgment. Because Romans 6:23, three chapters later, Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is what? Death. If we've sinned, if we've fallen short, we deserve death just in the same way that this son could have experienced death. But thankfully, like this father in the parable, God has compassion for us. And if you finish the rest of Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And that is one of the finest buts you'll see in the Bible. Right? Excuse my humor. But it's, we want that, right? It's an amazing but that we find in the Bible. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that we serve a God of compassion. A God that loves us even when we fail. He doesn't give us what we deserve. Instead, He embraces us and pours out His love and compassion upon us. And let me just encourage you in this way. Something that the Lord taught me. I had struggles. I've told you growing up, pornography and different struggles and things in my life. And I learned the enemy loves to shame us. The enemy loves to make us dwell on when we fail. And so what happens is I've already failed, so I'm just going to keep failing. Or I've failed, and how could God love me? And we get in this pity party. That's what the enemy wants. And what I've learned is when I made mistakes, I started to just, oh, I messed up. Forgive me, Lord, because you can. Forgive me and help me head in the right direction. And I encourage you, when we make those mistakes, don't let the enemy shame us. Don't let the enemy cause you to stay in that place of sin. As soon as you realize, as soon as you go, oh, what was I doing? Say, God, I'm sorry. I know this is, feels like cheap grace, but Lord, I'm sorry, and forgive me and make my relationship with you right. Forgive me of my sin. I give it to you. Help me to love you. I encourage you to do that right away. God wants us to experience His healing. And we can be thankful that He is a God of compassion that wants to immediately forgive us and make us righteous. And the thing is, the Bible says He wipes our sin as far as the east is from the west. He cleans us. We're the one that goes, oh, but I just failed last week. He's like, you did what? I don't remember that. You asked for forgiveness, right? I don't know what it was. What did you do? I don't remember. We remember. The enemy tries to remind us. And so I just encourage you, when you make mistakes, just say, Lord, I messed up. And come before Him, because we serve a God of compassion that wants to forgive us. And the thing is, He doesn't just not give us what we deserve. He gives us what we don't deserve. In verse 22, it says, "But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet.'" My third point, my third observation in this section of Scripture is this. We can be thankful that we serve a God who fully restores us. You see, back in this time, a robe was a clean garment that would be put on after you had washed. Now, the prodigal son, he had been sleeping with the pigs, right? He was probably smelly and disgusting. He was anything but clean. But because of his willingness to come home, for his willingness to return to the Father's command to get the robe makes a statement here. It tells us that his grace covered his son's filth. It covered his sin. It covered the dirt. 1 John 1:9 tells us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The robe represents the robe of righteousness that Jesus clothes us with when we return to him. Takes away our sin. It makes us clean, regardless of what we've done. I'm so thankful that God doesn't leave us dirty. God isn't one of those that says, oh, you just wallow in that for a while and just understand what you did. No, he wipes us clean. Now, it doesn't mean we don't have consequences for our sins, but he makes us clean. And I'm thankful that we serve a God that cleanses us and makes us new. And then if you read on, after putting on the robe, he puts a ring on his finger. And this ring, it's a symbol. It's a representation of him being restored to the family, restored to his original place in the family. This son had gone off. He'd squandered all of his father's money. He had completely failed. He had hit rock bottom. But he chooses to return, hoping, right? If you remember, if you read the scripture, he's just hoping that his dad will let him work for him, that he could just be one of his dad's hired hands, one of his servants. But his dad said, no, you're not going to be one of my servants. You're not going to be a hired hand. You're my son. And he restored the son to his original position. I'm thankful that we serve a God of restoration who restores us fully and makes us righteous in him. I mentioned that in the military I had fallen from the Lord for a period of time. And it was actually a youth pastor, a campus life director, that had seen me coming out of a place that I shouldn't be when I was home on leave. And he called me and he asked if we could meet, if we could have breakfast together. And we started talking and I shared with him how I had fallen, all the mistakes that I had made, this life that I had been living. And I told him that I knew I needed to get my life right with God, but that one of the struggles I was dealing with was this belief that I had ruined my chance of becoming a youth pastor. You see, I went in the military with this idea to get money for college so I could go to Bible college and be a youth pastor. But instead, I go and live this wild life, and I live this way that God doesn't intend me to live. And I felt like I had ruined my chance of becoming a youth pastor. I had squandered the chances of this ever happening now. And I remember as I was sharing this with him after he let me kind of go on, he just looked at me and he said, you know that's a lie of the enemy. We serve a God of restoration. God can restore who you are and who he's called you to be. And the crazy thing was after that meeting that I began my journey home to the Father. 3 days later, I was leaving back to my new duty station in San Diego, and I immediately started going to church. The crazy thing is, in less than 3 months at that church, the youth pastor I started volunteering, he asked me to be the associate youth pastor at that church. It was a volunteer position, but still, here's this guy that had failed and made these mistakes, and now I'm being asked to be the associate youth pastor at this church. And a year and a half later, after marrying Stacy and getting out of the Marine Corps, I returned home to Eugene, and that same campus life director that had seen me coming out of that place that met me had just planted a church 6 months earlier. And we started attending that church, and within 6 months, I was the new youth pastor, middle school pastor at that church. And I've been in ministry ever since. We serve an amazing God, a God who never leaves us or forsakes us, a God of love and compassion who meets us right where we're at, a God of restoration who picks us up out of the pig pen, right, out of the muck and mire, and clothes us with His robes of righteousness. And we should be thankful. We should be thanking Him every day for who He is and all that He does for us. I don't know what this past year has been like for you. It may have been an amazing year. It may have been one of the toughest years of your life. It may have been somewhere in between. Either way, I can say this. Without God, it would have been worse, a lot worse. So I encourage all of us this morning to just take time today, every day, to reflect on God's hand on our lives, that we are people that are constantly giving Him thanks. We can't be people who take God for granted, whether we're aware of His presence or not. And we have to remember that being thankful in all circumstances is one of the keys to living the life that God has called us to live. It helps us come to a place of contentment instead of resentment. We don't want to live life with resentment. God, why didn't this happen? God, why does their life look better than mine? Let me just tell you, it's not. It's a facade, right? We all have trials. We all have struggles. We can't live our life resenting. We have to be content and allow God to help us experience His joy despite the circumstances around us. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this morning and just this weekend where, as a nation, Lord, we give thanks. But Lord, help us to remember that thankfulness should happen more than just one time a year, more than just one weekend a year. That, Lord, we want to be people who learn to be thankful in all circumstances. Every day of our lives, Lord, that we're thanking You for Your hand upon us, for the strength that You give us, for Your compassion that You pour out, for the fact that You restore us and make us whole, Lord. And so we thank You. We thank You this morning for all that You do for our lives. And if we've been struggling, Lord, I just pray that You help us to turn around. And as we turn around, that we would see that You've never left us. You're right there, ready to embrace us and draw us into You, Lord. And so, Lord, help us to be people who live life in a way where we're thankful, regardless of the circumstances. We're thankful that You are with us to be our strength in the midst of the ups and downs that we face in this very difficult world, Lord. And so, Lord, we love You. We praise You. We give You glory and honor today. I pray, Lord, You just allow this word to touch each of us where we're at. Lord, what is it that we need to hear from this word this morning? What is it that You're speaking to us individually? How do we need to grow from this word, Lord? We give it to You. We lay it before You. We thank You. We praise You. In Jesus' name.